Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Oh, God, the show is just a comedy of errors. At what point do Rosencrantz and Guildenstern appear? Anyway. Hey, it's 2 minutes and 43 seconds after the hour of noon, and this the month of November in the year of our Lord, 2002. The Rick Emerson Show. Live from the studio at the Hot Talk 1080 KOTK, along with Christina Carlson, Tim Riley, and Matthew Peterson. Hey, let's play our new favorite game. Hey, Matt, how you doing over there?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Can you even open your mouth today?
I can a little bit. I'll be better once the Vicodin kicks in.
Do you have Vicodin?
I really do.
Oh, you bastard, you didn't share.
No, I didn't.
You get Vicodin, you're supposed to hook a brother up.
And I've got it so it's guaranteed for at least two refills. So
you
get
have
lots
how many
of Vicodin.
Total?
It's like 90.
Yeah.
You get lots of Vicodin this way.
See, the great thing about, not that we advocate abusing yourself with prescription drugs, because that would be wrong, if very fun. The thing about Vicodin is, it's like, you can pay your rent with that, probably. Like, I don't know what kind of neighborhood you live in, but it's like, if at any point I just ran out of cash, I could totally go to my landlord and be like, look, I don't have any money, but I've got these Percocet. And he'd be like, that's totally, it's like the barter system where I live. You can totally swap out, like an 8 for part of your rent. You know what I mean? Or so I hear.
Yeah, I live in the same kind of neighborhood.
Yeah, all right. No, Tim, you're thinking about moving to Killytown or wherever that is. Stabville.
Not exactly Killingsworth, but over towards that area, North Portland.
Have I done the time and the date? Yeah, I have. All right, so it is Friday. Thank you for coming along, and welcome to Day 12. Coming up later on today, we got Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. He's going to be joining us. We got a top five headed your way as well. A penis watch, your phone calls, your emails, and all of the merriment that makes this... Well, a merry place to be. It's 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Or you can also email it's rick@rickemerson.com. This, however, is the one, the only, Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this jam-packed, action-filled newscast brought to you by Radio Shack. Today and tomorrow only, get great deals on holiday gifts at Radio Shack. It's 48 hours to some of the best savings ever, so don't miss it. Today and tomorrow only at Radio Shack.
I swear to God, we've been hanging around K2 too long, because Tim came by my desk, like, not 15 minutes ago and uttered the following phrase almost verbatim. Tim came by and goes, today's news is jam-packed with action-packed, you know, tidbits you don't want to miss. So, let's just dive right into that.
All right, Blazers Damon Stoudemire and Rasheed Wallace and a friend have been arrested and released after being arrested for marijuana possession following a traffic stop shortly after midnight in Centralia, Washington. You didn't think anybody was out that late, did you? They were. The three were returning to Portland after the Blazers' 89-85 victory over the Sonics in Seattle. They were riding in Stoudemire's 2003 Hummer when driver Ed Smith was cited for going 84 miles an hour in a 70-mile-an-hour zone on the I-5 near Chehalis. The trooper got the strong smell of marijuana coming from inside the vehicle. That does it, says Blazer fans. We're never going to another game again.
This is another reason not to go to a Blazer game.
I'm sorry they're continuing to make choices like that.
The eyes are on them, so they should be role models and setting standards for the kids that do look up to them.
They should discontinue that kind of activity, both for the general public's good and for their own good.
It's good to see that the public's sense of ire and moral indignation is always completely misplaced, as always. In a world of variables, there's one constant. The people have no... Don't the Blazers have child molesters on their team? Isn't that the Blazers I'm thinking of? Don't they have sexual... Don't they have sexual felons
most teams
on their
do.
Team?
I don't think so. I think they've got some domestic abusers and
oh,
such.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But not actually, like, you know...
Well, that was just what I heard. I don't claim to know, but so I thought that somebody on the Blazers team had been busted for some sort of sexual assault at one point.
They're easy to come by.
Well,
though.
Maybe. Who knows?
So it's just wife beating, then.
Could very well be.
All right. It's good to know that we're all getting upset about marijuana.
Yes, it is. Something must
Didn't
be done.
Didn't Damon Stoudemire just get arrested for...
Well,
isn't this like
fault.
The second pot bust in like a year?
Yeah, but he actually got busted for having like pounds of marijuana in his house. So not just having a couple joints on him.
But he was just stocking up for the holidays.
Yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving. All right.
I mean, back in the days when you used to give Camel to all your friends. Now, times have changed, of course. Yeah. Well, it's the talk of Canada today. Newspapers and broadcast reports are leading with this story on how an aide to Prime Minister Jean Chrétien reportedly called President Bush a moron.
Blame Canada! Blame Canada! With all the hockey hullabaloo and the kitchenery too. Blame Canada!
Well, today it's damage control, and Jean Chrétien says W is not a moron. It probably won't help. Here he is.
A friend of mine. He's not a moron at all.
Okay. That sounds like a stunning endorsement.
Yeah, the Prime Minister won't be invited to Crawford to shoot any armadillos anytime soon. In the meantime, as if that wasn't bad enough, their defense minister bluntly told W yesterday to stop lecturing Canada about increasing defense spending, after the president urged the federal government and NATO allies to boost the military budgets to confront what they call new international terrorist threats. So he was called a moron a second time.
But Canada doesn't need our help. Canada, they got everything we got, right? They got a military and they got an air force. They got everybody there's got guns. What is it exactly that Canada's lacking in terms of... And plus, they live next door to us.
They do.
That's akin to Trey Yant, our resident sales guy, living next door to a state trooper, which he does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of the good news, bad news neighbor, actually. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, they live next door to America. Nobody's going to come whoop up on them.
Well, Pat Buchanan lectures Canadian reporter Jacques Bourbeau on Canadian cruelty.
The United States, I know it's tough living next to great power. I mean, it's probably better you living next to us than you living next to Red China or Stalin's Russia. But the United States, Americans, we take something like 50% of your gross national product in imports. We give you folks a $50 billion surplus every year in trade. You've depreciated your currency to take advantage of Americans. You're about 25% below where you were. And Americans know you all are getting all these benefits. And then all we seem to hear from the North, quite frankly, is carping and criticism and whining.
Well, reporter Barbeau says name-calling between our two countries is nothing new.
Name-calling's got a very rich history between our two countries, because President Nixon once called Pierre Trudeau, and I won't repeat the word, but it starts with an A and ends with hole.
There's even evidence of an American ambassador calling Canadians names.
What say you, Mr. American Ambassador?
Canada.
You, buddy.
Can I just tell you, though, that Pat Buchanan talking about Canada sounds just like my grandparents talking about coloreds and how they're getting all uppity. I don't know if you have family members like this, but I like to think that sort of bigotry and racism are at least trending down as each generation, you know, as we go on as a culture. And maybe it's just becoming more subtle. I don't know. But I don't know if this ever happened to you, but man, it's like you couldn't get together with my family and you get a few belts of booze and the elderly people in my family tree without them starting to talk about how black folks used to... Do you ever hear these? Like, you could play bingo at my house. You could play, like, racism bingo at Rick's, like, family get-togethers where you hear these phrases about knew their place... You know, didn't always used to whine about everything. What have they got to be upset about anyway? And this is an all-time favorite at my house. My uncle Tom used to pull this, and I swear to God, his name is Uncle Tom. I swear to Christ.
That totally fits perfectly in with what you're talking about.
I swear to Christ, his name was my uncle's name was Tom.
Did he have a cabin?
See, that was too easy. It was just sitting there. It was just laying there. I didn't want to go there. And then what'd you do? You went there.
I did.
Anyway, but he always used to, his favorite old saw was that if he was black, he'd be pulling down a big government check, no questions asked. Like, he labored under this illusion that if you were black, somehow the government just started sending you money. Here you go, you're black, there you go. Well, anyway, 1-800-727-5955. Mark in Portland's a full-time listener. What's up with you, man?
What's up, Rick?
What do you got?
Hey, I believe the Blazers do have a convicted sexual offender on their team. I think the guy was convicted for assaulting, like, the babysitter or something. I don't want to name names, but there's definitely a sexual sex offender on the Blazers.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good to know. All right.
So if you're a PR person with the Blazers, please call us and let us know who that is.
1-800-727-5955. Well, let's talk to Dave here. We got multiple Daves. Dave's a full-time listener in Portland. What's up with you?
Yeah, I was just saying the same thing the last guy said. He was in Seattle, I believe, when he decided something about coming out of the shower and ending up in the nanny's room or something.
Now, is this a conviction or an accusation?
They may have settled something out of court with a large check or something. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Well, is this a matter of public record?
Yeah, it was all over the place a couple years ago. That's when the Blazers decided they should get him.
Well, who is this?
I think it's Patterson.
Now, is that, Ruben. I mean, this is that you're saying that this, to the best of your recollection, that's who this is?
Correct.
All right. Okay, excellent. All right, there you go.
Yeah, that's the old kind of Blazer jam.
Okay, here's... Okay, here's it's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
W is in Lithuania. Yes, he just landed there in some sheep field on Air Force One. Why is he there? Well, because Lithuania is one of the new members of NATO. How do they get there? Well, they have to buy $34 million worth of Stinger missiles from Raytheon. And if they want to remain a member of NATO, they'll have to spend $240 million on arms every year as the price of membership. Now, this is a country that has a population the size of Oregon.
Yeah, they don't have $34 million in the entire place.
And there are more Lithuanians living here in the United States than Lithuanians. As a matter of fact, their president comes from Chicago.
They had to spend 30. They couldn't buy a Saturn.
Yeah.
They're broke. What the hell are you doing? It's like in the, did you ever do this? Did you ever go to, like, eBay or something, and you'll be buying something on, like, Amazon, and you'll buy, like a DVD or, like, a couple books or something, and you get that pop-up. If you spend $1,000, you'll get a 4% price break. You know what I mean? It's like, the more you, here's one of the biggest lies of American capitalism. The more you buy, the more you save. No, no, no. You buy more, you're not saving a damn thing. You buy more. What is it? They have to spend $34 million now.
They're spending $34 million now for Stinger missiles from Raytheon, and they have to spend $240 million a year on arms every year. There are only 3 million people living in this country. Everyone gets 1 million guns. All of you go shoot the Russians. Save us the trouble.
Yeah, baby.
That's it's like saying, Oregon, you must spend $240 million on arms every year. This is nuts. Now, the president of the U.S. Committee on the Expansion of NATO is the vice president of Lockheed Martin.
Okay. I can already see that it's one of those days. Just stretching out before me like so much stretchy stuff.
This is about freedom and liberty.
Scotty's a... full-time listener at Southeast. What's up with you?
Hey, Rick. You know, I wanted to point out that the Blazers have a pretty stellar history of smoking the herb, you know.
Yeah, well.
Going back to the guy that's, oh, man.
Northwest Pride.
Why are basketball players expected to be role models and not puff the herb? I mean, if I was making that much money, I'd have pounds in my weight room, too.
Exactly. If I had that much money, I would be living on a. I'd be living like one of those oil derricks, like 13 miles off the coast in international waters, calling it Riconia.
There you go.
And nobody tell me to stop doing a damn thing. You know, I'd be waking. I'd be doing every possible illegal thing you could think of, and I'd be doing it just far enough out that they couldn't bust me for it. And I'd fly in on a private jet, play the game, go back home, light up again. You know what I mean?
Have your own helicopter with like a bong built into it.
Seriously, like what is the point?
Yes.
Built into the helicopter?
How about just a bong?
Sure.
A bong shaped helicopter?
It's kind of like a breathalyzer, but it's, you know, sort of the reverse effect.
Right on the steering wheel. How about just a helicopter just built like a big pipe, you know?
Exactly. And it just, you could just
big round
just
front, little tubular back.
Inside of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It looks more like a rocket, though.
What's the point of being a celebrity? You can't, you know, break laws that normal people have to follow. Excellent. It's good to know we don't stand alone here.
Part of the new spirit of the Northwest.
Who put this message on my screen?
I did.
Now, is this true?
This is what I was told.
Is this from a reputable source?
It is from a reputable source.
Well, who?
Somebody you work with.
Okay, but this is a fact. Like, we're not reporting garbage here.
Well, I mean, it's a fact.
We don't report garbage
allegedly,
here.
Like,
what I've got on my screen, this is what I have been told. I am now, this is not me saying this. We are passing along what someone inside the building, what an unnamed source, okay, who's probably Trey, told us. He sexually assaulted his nanny, allegedly, or maybe not. Was a convicted sex offender from the state of Washington when he played for the Sonics. When he came to Portland, had to register as a sex offender here in the state of Oregon. Okay, that's what we've been told by someone. Your mileage may vary. John and West Lynn, you're a full time listener. What's up with you, man?
Well, first, Boncopter. That sounds great.
Boncopter's a great name for like some sort of a jam band. We are Boncopter.
Flying high, baby. Anyway, no, I just wanted to mention the he's back on your intro. Hey, welcome back, man. It's nice to have you back. Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. We didn't think I was going to be able to pull it out, you know, but these 18 months that that's been playing. Can I just tell you this? I was informed the other day, because speaking of Trey, Trey over in sales hates that. He hates the he's back. And I was informed by Bruce, who was, who dubbed him, oh, this, one of our listeners, Jennifer, had the greatest name for Bruce. She dubbed him Obi-Wan Kenobruce. But he noted that because everybody hates it, it's like never going away because he gets a perverse thrill out of irritating people with the he's back. So it's like all the people complaining did is just like dig that thing in further. It's like a tick underneath your skin. You're just never going to get that thing out.
Well, I'm going to keep complaining about it because it annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah, well, anyway, what are you going to do? That's welcome to the Rick Emerson experience.
It seems like it would be easy to like miss that, just, you know, start the show like a minute later if it really bugged you that much.
So you have to label it a news cut for Matt to miss it.
If I could talk easily, I'd say lots of mean things.
Dude, I'm going
to
take advantage of it today. You can't even open your... How far would you say you can open your jaw? Like, how wide can you open your mouth? Is it even half an inch?
Yeah, I could probably do half an inch.
We got to get... Do we have a ruler or like a yardstick or something?
Do you want me to get
it's not that I can't open it.
But without excruciating pain.
Oh, yeah. Well, not at all. Maybe a quarter of an inch.
So...
I mean, it starts to hurt once my teeth, you know, like, begin to separate.
Yeah, during a break later, let's get a ruler and we'll see how far Matt can open his mouth before it starts to hurt. You haven't taken any Vicodin yet, have you?
I actually did take one right at the beginning of the show.
And you still can't open your mouth?
Well, no, it hasn't really kicked in all the way yet. I'm about to take another.
Oh, great. So I'm sure everything will flow swimmingly after that.
Well, it'll flow pretty swimmingly in my mind anyway. I'm not sure how it's going to sound.
Flowing like syrup, baby, like butter. All right, here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Craig Ice Cube and Day-Day Mike Epps and their crew go after thieves who robbed their home on Christmas Eve.
Did you just call him Craig Ice Cube?
That's what it says here on the copy.
Oh, I think it's Craig and then parenthetically Ice Cube.
Craig and parenthetically Ice Cube. The movie is called Christmas Eve in the Friday After Next. It's a holiday-themed urban film.
You're talking gibberish. None of this makes any sense.
I know, it's from E! Entertainment. Ice Cube talks about how fun it is to do a movie.
It's cool to have a movie that people enjoy, man.
Yes, it is.
People enjoy it to the point where they watch it.
It's cool to have a bong-shaped helicopter.
You know, they watch it over and over again. And,
Jesus,
you know.
Christ.
I'm telling you, man, they can steal United Steam. They'll be flying the friendly skies.
Numbers. You know, we let New Line worry about those numbers. You know, we worry about the finished product, and is it good?
Yeah, I think Ice Cube worries about product, but I don't know that it's the film.
And is it what we wanted it to be? And it is.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Tell us about all the fun you had on the movie, said Ice Cube.
I think the more and more you take on more hats, you definitely have to allocate power to people and make sure that... you know, you get good people around you, and then you're still able to have fun. You know, it's not like, you know, me taking the whole...
Doesn't he sound like he's on Vicodin? It sounds like he can't open his mouth either.
You got to think out of the box.
I still have good people around me, you know, to help pull off the vision.
Okay, Ice Cube talks about the key to making a successful film.
You can always be chasing numbers, but, you know, that can lead to disappointment.
What is this, like a Zen? What is that, a Zen koan from Ice Cube?
Make a movie that can stand on its own. Mm-hmm. You know, I want, if you've never seen the first two Friday movies, to still be able to enjoy this movie as a movie without having to rely on what those movies did. That's one goal.
Life lessons from the hood.
Funny.
All right, thanks for that. Thanks for that fortune cookie. Fall not in love, therefore, it will stick to your face. You know, that's... Thanks for helping a brother out. I appreciate that. All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Okay, we got more on the way, including... what the hell else? We got a thing. Oh, we got a top five coming up later on. Peter Carlin's going to join us here from the Oregonian later on as well. More of your phone calls. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Hot Talk to Eddie KFTK. Don't go anywhere.
Come and breathe me with your charm. Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Leatherman. I mean, it's a useful tool and all, but do they know that that's gay slang? I mean, or is that part of the marketing scheme?
It's the last name of the people who made it.
Nobody's named Leatherman unless that's, you're in the Village People. What's your name? Bob Leatherman.
That is their name.
They own a chain
name.
Of gas stations, I think, in Yamhill County. So it's
really?
Leatherman's Gas. That's like having Bathhouse as your last name.
What's your...
There's the Ferryman's Hotels.
Well, there's also the Clyde. Have you seen that hotel downtown right by... I think it's by Jake's. It's right by Rocco's. And,
oh, yeah.
It's in the gay area.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, it's right in the heart of the gay district. Big hotel. The Clyde. Like, big, blinking, teal sign.
Teal.
All right. 1-800-727-5955. Later on today, your friend and my Peter Carlin will be joining us also at the top five. In Portland, Dave, it's a full-time listener.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What do you got, brother?
Hey, being from Salt Lake City, you got to know about the Blazers and their jail annex. One of the guys got busted with a 14-year-old girl in a hotel room down there.
Really? When was that?
Yeah, this has been about 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, see, so yeah, it would have been while I was still there. What was I doing? Yeah, interesting. And so that was like, that happened in Salt Lake?
That's what I can remember.
Well, that's where those people always go. It's like Salt Lake or Thailand. You know what I mean? If you want to break those kinds of laws, that's your two destination hotspots for
me. Well, sexual repression, what can you say?
I'm telling you, man. It's true. They probably thought it was one of his wives.
There you go again with it.
Sorry. Right there. Utah. Just, you know what that is? That's just a softball. Just Utah, here comes the polygamy softball. Crack. Right into one of those lights at Comiskey Park. All right, here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Well, now the parents of overweight kids are suing McDonald's for making them plump. Crossfire's Bob Novak reads a statement from one of those parents.
It's from Israel Bradley, who was a plaintiff's father. I always believed McDonald's was healthy for my children. Now, what kind of idiot is Israel Bradley?
Okay, so the response from the kid's lawyer?
You know, this is a country that 30% of kids today don't know where the Pacific Ocean is, according to Day. So we have to make allowances for that.
Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. Let's go back to revisit yet another thing that I was right about the other day, although the world continues to insist that I am misinformed. You want to talk about something they ought to spend a few more hours teaching kids in school? It's nutrition. And it's not like I'm some, like I'm Dr. Atkins over here or something. You know, no, I am the healthiest eater on planet Earth, but I know what makes you fat and I know what doesn't. Lettuce good, pizza not so much. And I know that you don't sit there and pour sugar and fat into your body and then wonder why you're shaped like the, big O who found the missing piece. You know what I mean?
Most school cafeteria and many more are having, regular fast food chains in the cafeteria.
Well, you know why? It's because the fast food chains bribe the schools to do that.
Right.
And in fact, I think it was in Los Angeles, but I can't swear to that. Coca-Cola had contracted with the school district, and again, I think it was in L.A., that Coca-Cola and Coca-Cola products would be the only beverages that were sold at the school. Coca-Cola comes back to the school about 8 months later and says, hey, you're just not selling enough... You're not selling enough soda. And so the school relaxed all the regulations on being able to bring soda into the classroom. They relaxed all the regulations about being able to bring soda to gym and all that stuff. Think of that, the irony of the school now encouraging you to drink soda in gym class.
Yeah.
And it's so that they wouldn't lose the Coca-Cola contract. It's just, it's soda. And I'm not like a Puritan about this. I'm really not. I am the farthest thing from being a guy who takes good care of himself. But I'm simply saying... that soda is like the single worst thing you can put into your body. You know what I mean? Other than, like, crack. It's the single worst thing you could just... What's that? Sugar and fat. What are you doing? Making my ass bigger. You know, just... Ugh. What are you going to do? All right, Bruce, you're in Portland. What's up with you?
I'll smoke your last bowl.
Is that the variation on the... Is that the Freak Brothers version of the Eat Your Soul guy?
I don't know.
I'm going to smoke your bowl.
Exactly.
Excellent. Who says drugs don't spur creativity, huh?
They really do, so...
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Question. Was it science or spectacle? A German doctor packed a London auditorium with spectators, charged them $20 a head to watch him perform an autopsy, which was also shown on British TV. Art Kaplan of the Center for Bioethics is outraged.
Did the person who was autopsied give written consent prior to death?
at a minimum, I hope we're not talking about a situation which an unclaimed body or someone unknown
was
sought up in public as a form of entertainment.
How big of an a-hole do you have to be before your relatives won't even pick up your body? You know what I mean? I got your brother, Henry, down here. He's in a cigar box. Who's going to pick him up? I'm going to pass, thanks.
Just wait till you pass. You'll find out.
Yeah,
well,
thanks.
Dr. Gunther Van Argen said he had nothing but the best of intentions.
And not only the next of kin, his son. The son
and the voice that fills you with confidence.
They stood up in television and they defended their decision. And with their father, who now died, they went to the exhibition of Body Worlds and they decided he wants to become a public enlightenment.
Look, I know it's 50 years after the fact, but if you went in for, like, some sort of tooth surgery and your doctor had that voice, you would get up and you would leave.
Well, Dr. Gunther says that since the victim was a heavy smoker, the public autopsy gave folks a glimpse at how badly the lungs were damaged, and that alone was worth the $20 price of admission.
He was a heavy smoker, so the audience could watch how the lung was attached firmly to the rib cage, and a number of people
understand
much more the damage of smoking. It is like in the Body Worlds exhibition, which he is in London, with preserved body specimen, which has a big educational value.
See, that's exactly what I picture, like, a German doctor sounding like.
Completely.
Too. Like, that's the voice of a... Like, if you're creating a German doctor character, that's exactly the voice you would have.
And wearing little pointy bright black boots.
Well, the removed organs were then passed around the audience on platters. The doctor was asked why he wore a black hat while conducting the autopsy.
Because I feel in the tradition of the anatomists of the 17th century, like Vizal, like Leonardo da Vinci, and like Michelangelo, they always wear their black hat.
Any questions?
Remind me never to go to Germany.
Oh,
I don't even need to know what he says.
The
it's
British
just disturbing.
TV is always ahead of American TV. You'll see this soon on Fox.
Oh, God. Well, they do have this cool thing on the net that I've never actually seen it, but I read a whole huge thing about it on the... It was on like BBC.UK or something, but there was some guy, and I think he was a guy from Utah, oddly enough, who died, willed his body to science. This is serious. I'm not making this up now. Guy died, willed his body to science, and they deep froze the guy. They did this flash freezing on him. And then they got these weird, they're like, I don't know, they're lasers or whatever the hell they are, but they got these little saws, and they I'm trying to gross you out, but it was kind of a cool thing. They froze the guy, and then they dissected him, but they did it in this weird style where they sort of partitioned his body lengthways and then crossways, and then scanned all four sides of each section and put it on the net. And the idea is that you can view, like, any section of the human body, like, close up, like, living. Kind of cool, actually. It's like that. Do you ever have that visible man when you were a kid? Christina doesn't know about the visible man.
I have no idea what that is.
Do you know what Stretch Armstrong is?
I need the cricket sound right now.
Oh, God. Jesus. Like, is there any way that you can make me feel more old? All right.
I'm sure there probably is. But.
Speaking of which, we have the Limerick bed. We've got the this is a limit. Wait, if there's a top five too, which I don't tend to read, but there's a Christina staying on the show Limerick, and it's all about her passing over Ben to stay here. Do we have? I forget what the Limerick thing's called, but okay, this is from Malcolm. Christina brings the whole show some class. With Rick Emerson, Matt, and Tim en masse, is she going away? We want her to stay. If only John would get off his dead ass. All right, there you go. There's your Christina staying on the show, Limerick. So there you go. See, people are writing limericks for you. Your ass isn't going to get that in Bend. In Bend, it's just guys in, like white hats and, like, little milk buckets coming along and going, well, there's going to be a spring dance down at the gazebo this Saturday. Just going to be, you might as well move to Mayberry. You don't want that. What?
Nothing.
Look for. All right. Well, when do we... Well, never mind. I don't even want to know. See, I'm all of the no news is good news philosophy. Because he was supposed to have found out about the job on, what, Tuesday, right?
Well, sometime early in the week.
Right. So Monday or Tuesday. So, see, I was always told, I don't know about you, but I was always told that if they're going to say yes, like you hear back right away, and the longer, like every day that goes by where you hear nothing, Tim and I were talking about this yesterday.
Yes.
Every day that goes by, like in radio, when you send off an air check for a gig, it's like if they're going to hire you, you hear back like within 72 hours. You know, you send a tape off to some radio station, you hear back within like 2 or 3 days if they're going to hire you. But it's like every day that passes, It's like a geometric progression of refusal. Like every day that goes back, like it goes up exponentially. Like their disdain for you and the job. So.
Well, anyway. He actually did find out within 72 hours.
And?
Well, I...
Oh, don't. See, now you're screwing with me. I can tell when you're just screwing with me.
I'm really not.
Don't. See, you...
No, I'm really not.
You convince no one with that.
No, I'm really serious. John actually got the job earlier this week, but I haven't quite figured out how I wanted to tell you, so...
I'm looking at Matt for confirmation. Don't screw with me. Don't. Okay. Knock it off.
Okay, fine.
Why would you... Okay, here's how I know you're lying, because why would you possibly pick... Why would you possibly pick the most inconvenient moment to tell me this?
Well, because you finally asked me about it.
I never asked... A little bit of delusion is all I asked for. Just let me live on... Now, is this a callback, or is this the we want to hire him?
No, this is we hired you, and John said yes.
As of when? When did you know this?
On Wednesday.
Today is, let's see, is today Wednesday? Hold on. Let's consult the calendar.
Be happy.
Let's see what the day that Bill Gates tells me it is. Hey, today's not Wednesday.
No, today is not Wednesday.
No. You know, and this is the weird thing. Today's not Thursday either.
No, really, today isn't
Thursday.
You know,
the strange thing is today's Friday.
It really is.
Friday, of course, being what we like to call, clinically speaking, 2 days after Wednesday.
Well, I kind of figured if I told you on a Friday, then you'd have the weekend to digest.
Yeah, the weekend and the remaining 2 hours and 20 minutes of the show. Well, that's dandy. So,
well, had you not brought it up, she wouldn't have said anything till after the show.
Okay, look there, junkie. I don't need to hear anything out of you. There, Janet.
I'm not a junkie.
Just go put down some more of the Vicodin there, Am.
Vicodin?
Yeah. Look
you up.
Yeah, I do want some Vicodin now. Can you spare me some? As of when? So this is, what is today? Today's the 22nd?
Today is the 22nd.
So when is he, well, when does he have to be in bed?
He starts on December 1st.
Which is, about a week, about 10 days from now.
Exactly.
And so then you are going to bend. You are going to bend.
I am going to bend.
So you're going to be in bend when?
I will be giving you my 2 weeks today. Like, right now.
So you are not going to be. There's no going to be about it. So you are, in fact, giving
me
your 2 weeks.
I am giving you my 2 weeks. So 2 weeks from today.
Which I think by the calendar says it would be December 6th.
Yeah,
would
thanks.
Be your last day.
Yeah, I can read.
Just run help.
All right.
I tried to warn you. I've kind of prepped you for many, many months.
Yeah, but that's like when your doctor tells you that you're going to get lung cancer if you keep smoking. You know, you still, you know, no, one of your lungs doesn't work anymore. And you're like, damn you! So...
See, so maybe it's good that the sun isn't shining.
Well, thanks. Yeah, so I can go outside. Because the last thing I'd want is any vitamin D to bring joy and cheer to my system.
I felt very awkward about this. I don't know how to tell you, so I just ignored it.
Make you feel awkward. Make you feel awkward.
I'm chucking
you down a staircase. There's still time for me to have John killed, you know. I know people. I'm people. For less than you might expect, I could probably have that guy's car blow up as soon as he puts the key in the ignition.
You know, your face is actually saying that you might be serious about that, so.
All right.
So
well,
let's continue with the news hour.
Let's continue with stuff that's not the news.
We don't go around whacking people on the show.
Thanks, Mom. Richard, I didn't raise you to whack people. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. All right, there's more on the way. From some of us, anyway. I'll go anywhere. The Rick Emerson Show continues next.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yes?
Nothing, I'm just, you know...
Taking it in, or absorbing, or...
Just acknowledging and moving on.
Are you going to deal with this, or is this something
lousy
that you're...
Jesus. This is like, can I just tell you that this is like the 749th time that Jesus or one of his followers has ruined my life. This is like, this is going on a lot, like starting with the Spanish Inquisition and then just going all the way and down Sister Darlene beating my ass with a ruler to today. It's the latest in a long line of betrayals by...
Well, anyway. I'm sorry that you feel like you're getting the smackdown from the Lord above, so... I just...
condescending.
I feel terrible, so...
Well, I'm not going to feel terrible alone. I'm not going to be the only one suffering. All right, here's Christina with the traffic.
Make you sad to even...
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Oh, is this my turn to speak? Supposed to do the show? I thought doing the show was optional at this point. Apparently you don't have to work on the Rick Emerson Show if you don't feel like it. Maybe I'll just go take myself a snooze. Damn lousy woman.
I'm sorry. See, I knew
And
you.
I complimented you on the way you dressed today.
You really did. But see, I wore a dress because I thought that if I looked more like a girl, you'd be more...
I wouldn't be mean. I wouldn't kick you.
You'd be nicer to me. Yeah, you wouldn't kick me and you wouldn't like...
I wouldn't kick you because we like you. Because we feel not unwarmly towards you.
And I wore a fun shirt, hopefully.
You do. You look like a Chinese checkerboard today. Or like a stained glass window in some kind of shoddy neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I actually wore I have this sweater that looks like a birthday cake, and I wore it yesterday because if you had somehow found out, you know, early...
Well, I'm surprised. How long have you... Matt Peterson, how long has your ass known about this?
My jaw kind of hurts. I can't really talk.
No, don't be a dick. I'm not going to yell. Wait, how long have you known? How long have you known she was leaving?
I found out Wednesday.
Matt was the first person I told.
Thanks. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. And she says, is that a cut? Here's some lemon juice for you. Let me grate you with a cheese grater.
Well, I figured he would give me some advice as to how to go about this.
Yeah, all right. You're like mailing it to me from Spain, like telling me over the phone, I'm in Portugal. Bye. Tim Riley? You have known about this when? Did you just find out just now?
I heard about it yesterday at the press club.
You got the talking points back to you, but Ari Fleischer, Terry McAuliffe sent you the release on it.
Martini.
Yeah. So I'm the last. I'm on this side of the building. Did Bruce already know?
Yeah, Bruce knew.
So everyone knew but me.
Well, I just... I didn't know. I knew
I should probably... I'm gonna shoot you.
Well, I mean...
Like you were going to tell me and I was going to like I was going to knock your teeth out or something.
I think that you might have had I told you at the right moment.
I appreciate
or whatever,
that.
So I felt like it was a delicate sort of situation.
Yeah, not I also kill puppies.
Not because...
Thank you.
We may hear this song a lot today.
This is the number one on today's hit parade. I'm trying to be zen here. Damn, this is the worst song. thank you for that. All right. Shut up. You are not improving the situation by singing Bobby McFerrin to me. All right. Andrew, you're downtown. What's up with you?
Hey, Rick, hang in there, buddy. It's fitting that she dropped this bomb on you on Assassination Day, but that's neither here nor there because you got to look at it. It's going to be her loss because you, Rick Emerson, when you're standing on top of the world because you got it going on, you can look down on her and say, hey, you could have been here with me.
That's right, baby. That's right. There you go. That's Andrew. That's right. Today's JFK Blown Away Day, right?
Yeah, we'll end up on that later.
Well, that is appropriate then. Yeah, all right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. All right, more coming up. We got that Peter Carlin is going to join us from the Oregonian, and we'll get your phone calls as well. The peeps weighing in, undoubtedly. So we'll get that. What else do we have? We got a special top five today. Non-Christina. I didn't have time to put together top five betraying women. Top five traitorous Christians. And I got that on Monday. Damn skirt. It's the Rick Emerson Show.